for you, and it's on prayer and evangelism. And I think sometimes we don't know how to pray. If you didn't get one, raise your hand. But little booklet talks about some specific prayers that can be prayed in relationship to evangelism. And what I want you to do now, everybody listening? Fold it up and just set it aside. That's for you to take home and read. Preacher won't let me preach that much, so I got to get my double bang in here. I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to kind of hook on that freight train message this morning. You guys thought it was a freight train. You thought I was going to preach forever, didn't you? But freight train messages are where you just unconnect and connect back up. And I think that the thoughts I want to bring this afternoon will go along with the message we had this morning. Romans 8, verse 26. You see, I haven't been up here for a while. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, we're not going to preach on that verse, because I don't know anybody who can really explain it to its depths, or even to understand it. But somehow, the Spirit of God, which dwells within us, the third person, one of the persons of the Trinity, He actually prays for us and helps us in our prayers and knows our hearts and knows our trials, and even with groaning. And we may word some prayers in the Holy Spirit, and it may be kind of befuddled and mixed up, but the Holy Spirit can take them to the throne of God and present them very clearly. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so, again, there's something happening behind the scenes where the Holy Spirit, when we sin, he makes intercession saying, yes, he did sin, but he's a child of the King. His life has been covered by the blood of Jesus. And he intercedes for us. And then where we really want to look today, this wonderful, powerful verse for bumpy roads, for fiery trials, for good times and bad times. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Powerful verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I want you to just know a couple of other verses here in this whole context. But he says in verse 31, what shall we then say to those things, that is, troubling things and different things that come into our lives? If God be for us, who can be against us? A question. Sometimes we get so immersed in our problems and our troubles that we need to ask a question. Is God for us? Is God for his children? Is God for us? And if he's for us, who can be against us? As long as he's for us, we're winners. And in fact, isn't that what verse 37 says? Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. And so this verse, I told Chris I'm going to preach like I do in prison, and I've changed my preaching tactics a lot in prison. Usually I beat on the whiteboard, but I can't beat on this one too much, or it's kind of flimsy stand. But we want to look at this verse and just break it down. It says here in this verse, we know Okay. Who is that? Don't all speak at once. I won't rebuke you or make fun of you. Everybody, from my teaching, everybody's afraid to answer because I'll say, no, that's not it. Today, no answer is a bad answer, unless it's a real bad answer. Do what? How do you know that? Okay. Anybody else? Joey, she's wanting to talk. Hi, Joey. To them that love God? Okay. You know, I meet guys all the time at work say, yeah, I love God. And then they go out and fornicate on the weekend. Well, let's drop back a little bit. Let's look in chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then let's just look at the verse here. He says, he defines it, doesn't he? He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, as Chris said, and to them who are called according to his purpose. And so it must be talking about someone who is born again. That they've responded. You see, there's idea, you know, there's this, everybody says, oh, I love God, I love God. And multitudes of churches full of people who are truly believers say, yeah, I love God. But this is someone who understands that I love him because he first loved me, as John says. This is someone who understands that they were lost and without hope, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And they love God, not just out of some kind of emotional, you know, spiritual excitement that can be generated by emotions, but they love God deep within their hearts because they've been a new creature. And so Paul is addressing, absolutely, people who are born again, people who have passed from death into life, people who have repented of their sins and trusted in Jesus Christ. And so it is very definitely addressing saved people, because there's a lot of unsaved religious people who don't truly love God. Or the Bible tells us this, that if we love God, we'll keep his commandments. And there's lots of people who say they love God, but their commandments of God mean nothing to them. And so one of the evidences of being truly born again is that people obey the Lord or desire to obey the Lord. And when they don't, they're grieved that they've disappointed their Lord. And so there's the we part about it. And then he says, we know. True Christianity is a know-so religion, that we can know some things. Look over there, look over in 2 Timothy 1 and 12. 2 Timothy 1 and 12. Again, this is talking about suffering, a lot about suffering in the Bible. In 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul used some very positive terms here, and he says, I know whom I have believed. He knew Jesus Christ. He experienced God in his life. And that gave him another positive statement, and I am persuaded. I'm hopeful, but I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed. That is his life, his soul, unto him against that day. What's the day? Well, the day of judgment. And so this is a verse that doesn't apply to all mankind, but it applies to those that are children of God. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God, who are called according to his purpose. And so, let's just think about this word know a little bit more. We know. Now, if we really know, then there shouldn't be questioning, should there? It's very obvious that our former missionary to Brazil, that his wife is in the intensive care and she's dying of cancer. We know that can work together for good. Many of you are going through different things, and I've went through different things. Some of you went through some very hard things. And in the future, some of you are going to go through some hard things. And Paul's saying here, we know that all things work together for good. We know. Yet at times, we question that. We wonder if really it is working together for good. Look in, when I start doing this, I go on all over my notes, so let's see. Do what? No, it's tougher. Look in Genesis 42. Not that you can snowball them in prison, but they don't have a lot of Bible knowledge. We don't try to preach error. But in Genesis 42 and verse 36, this is in the time when Joseph had been sold by his brothers into Egypt. And Jacob loved Joseph, seemingly more than all the other 12 sons of Jacob. And Jacob said there in verse 36, and Jacob their father said unto them, ye have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is not, because they had lied to their father and said that Joseph had been killed. Simeon is not, because Simeon had been kept in Egypt when he went down there to get food. And he said, and when Joseph sent back them with the food, them not knowing it was Joseph, said, you're not going to get any more food unless you bring this other brother you're talking about, Benjamin. And so he said, and ye will take Benjamin away? And then he said, all these things are against me. Oftentimes we think that everything that's happening, that these things that are happening are against me. But this verse contradicts that. This verse is saying, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, who are called according to His purpose. All things. And so, it says we know that all things, and so, again, some important word, all things. But what does this mean? Someone said, all means all, and that's all that all means. So think about the worst thing that's ever happened in your life as a child of God, and understand that it falls underneath all. Does all mean some things? All mean a select group of things? Now let me put this one at your feet. Does all mean sinful things? Well, let's talk about Joseph again. When his brothers sold him into Egypt, they made him evil. This verse is not saying that all things are good. But he said, all things work together for good. And God can take evil things. Now, this is where the miraculous part of this verse is. That our God is big enough to take those things that were meant evil for us and work good from them. What kind of God is that? He's not promoting evil. This verse doesn't promote evil. It doesn't justify evil. And in fact, evil will be judged. Sin must, all the wages of sin is death. The sin must be judged. But when he uses the word all, just understand that all means all, and that's all that all means. That it includes everything. Even our own sin, realize that we're going to reap for what we've sown. But God can take that and miraculously work it in our lives for the best. And these men, when Satan this morning, moved God, however you want to explain all that, when Satan moved God against Job, or God gave Satan permission to move against Job, Satan knew this. Satan knew that Job was a right, upright, saved, just man. Satan knew that he could not get Job's soul. It was secured forever. He was a child of God. Well, what Satan wanted to do, he wanted to take this man, Job, who God had bragged on, and he wanted to use him to take glory from God, to rob God of his glory. He wanted to take Job and smear the name of God. And so what Satan did against Job was evil. When he destroyed his children, it was evil. When he stirred up those enemies to come and steal his livestock, it was evil. Yet God made it for good, didn't he? When that's over, Job held his integrity. He had 7 more sons and 3 more daughters and double his livestock, and God blessed him. And again, we say, oh boy, maybe I can do this and this and this, and I'll get double the livestock, and God will bless me, and I'll be really financially off. But remember, the whole thing was about, are you a Rice Christian? And let me say to you that everything that Job had in this life, all that livestock and all of his children, does not compare to the glory of the future that we're in, the mansion that's prepared for us. And so he says, all things work together for good, that those that love God, who are called according to his purpose. If you look with in relationship to Joseph, look over in Genesis 45. Joseph's brothers have sold him into Egypt. And in Genesis 45 and verse 1. Well, let's build a background again. Joseph was sold into Egypt. He was sold to a man named Potiphar. He works for Potiphar and becomes very trusted in Potiphar's house. And he became in charge of all of Potiphar's house. And when Potiphar was gone, Potiphar's wife, a wicked, ungodly woman, begs Joseph to have an illicit affair with her, and Joseph declines. He refuses. He flees from her presence. And so she, being spurned, tells her husband that Joseph tried to rape her, and he goes to prison. Now, what good can come out of that? He's a jailbird. He's unjustly accused, but he's in prison. But the Bible says all things work together for good. And then he has a discussion with the butler and the baker and the visions, and he explains them, and he asks them to, plead to the king for him. But he stays in prison for a number of years more, 5 years more. And finally, when he gets out, he becomes the head of the kingdom, working for Pharaoh. In chapter 45, verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. That is, his brothers had come down, and he's hid himself. He's not revealed who he was. Caused every man to go out from thee, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians of the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they are troubled at his presence. Why were they troubled? Because they did evil against him. What they did was sinful. And Joseph said to his brother, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. God was in it. God knew that the famine was coming. Look in chapter 50 and verse 20. But as for you, chapter 50 of Genesis, verse 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as this day to save much people alive. And so we find here that we know all things work together, and we find that in the example of Job. We find that in the example of Joseph. And I think we also need to keep in mind the word, all things work together. Because it's really our perspective of life that's important. We could say, you know, my house could catch on fire and I lose everything. And I could say, and I'm too old to rebuild. I could say, what is God doing? I could say, man, all those pictures of my children when they were little, those guns that my father gave to me that were in, they're all gone. My whole life for the last 66 years went up in smoke. I mean, that's the way it looked. Or we could say, God's working. God's working. Understand? Because all things work together. And God's working for good. All things work together for good to those that love God, who are called according to his purpose. God's working. When the fire took place over here, somebody touched the church of fire. I come back and my books were melted. My computer with all my stuff on it was, hard files, putting in the file cabinet. I have to back all that stuff up, Mike says. And I keep gambling, rolling the dice. Oh, it won't crash. Well, it's all destroyed, you know. But my computer man got it back for me. But nevertheless, it was a bad deal. And it was emotionally upsetting. God has actually let us see something very quickly here, how things work together. All things work together for good. All things. We don't, and you see, it's a matter of perspective, because when these things happen to us, we're like Jacob and saying, I lost Joseph, and now Benjamin, they want to take Benjamin, and Simeon, they've kept him down in Egypt, and you guys come back, and now you tell me you want me to let you take Benjamin back, and they say, well, if we don't take him back, we're not going to eat, because he said, if you don't bring him back, he's not going to give us any food. And he said, everything's against me. And at times in our life, as we come to a point, we look at our situation that we're in, and we say, I cannot win. Everything's against me. I'm playing against a stacked deck. Anybody ever been there? But the Bible says all things work together for them that love God, who are called to his purpose. God's working. God's working. This cancer patient who is a Christian and they're dying, God's working. If nothing else, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Listen, we're going to have to die to get to heaven. God's working. And he's working it for good for his children. It's working for good. You know, Jose, I really believe Jose is saved. And he's in prison. It doesn't seem like he's getting a fair shake. And God uses men to help, you know. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. God is working. And so we see that in Joseph's life. We see that in Job's life. But I think something else here, behind the scenes, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, who are called according to his purpose, that we see a God of purpose. And we see something else about this God, is that not only is he, you know, God of purpose, there's a reason, there's a purpose that all things work together for good, but we see something about the character of God, do we not? That the God of the Bible and the God of this verse is not a God who is removed from his children. You understand what I'm saying? He knows what's going on in your life. And he knows what he wants to work in your life. And he wants us to cooperate with him. But he's a God that cares. He's a God that's intimately involved to the degree that the evil things, even our own sin that we must pay for and repent of and suffer for and reap what we've sown, but even evil things, our great God is so involved in my life that he's taking those things and he said, I'm going to work this out for good for you, Gene. Don't tell me that I can't cast all my care upon him, for he cares for me. Don't tell me that God is not intimately involved in my life. He is. To the degree he wanting to work things out. That he's wanting to bring me good. That he's working. And it tells me something about the person of God. Look in Psalm 75. See what this says. 75 verse 5. It just tells, this verse just relates to God's working. Psalm 75, 5. Lift up your horn on high and speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and set up another. Now let me tell you something. There are actually people, even in this moment in time, who are going to psychiatrists because they are so upset about Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, Cruz, Rubio, and the way the elections are going. They can't function throughout the day. And I know there's some powerful emotions going through even our church about political things. And we ought to love our country. We ought to vote. But let me tell you, whether Hillary Clinton becomes president, Donald Trump, Cruz, or whatever, God is going to work all things for good. And so we begin to see something about God in that he's an involved God. He's not, there's a song we sing, you know, something way out there, who lives away up there, and what is that song? The God who doesn't care, who lives away up there, but now he watches me day by day. Well, he isn't a God that doesn't care. He's a God that does care. He's not a God that lives way up there. We know that he's in what's called the heaven of heavens, but he's a God that lives here. He's a God that knows what you're going through. He's a God that cares. He's a God that's working. And so when the trials come, get a mindset that, listen, I don't know what God's doing, but But I know He's working. And I know He's working to bring all this together. Romans 8:28, for all things work together. That all these things that seem like they're not connected at all these difficulties that seem like they're not connected at all, God's taking it all together and working it for good. What I'm saying is this, is that I have a God who is very tender and merciful and loving, and He's working 24/7, 365 days a year. Are you just looking at me? But can't you grasp the wonder of that? That He cares for me. That nothing comes into my life that's not something that God can't take and use and make. And so I see in this verse something great about the character of God. He's a God that's near. He's a God that's merciful. He's a God that cares. He's a God that works. This world, in all of its chaos, it seems like there's tremendous chaos in our world today. There's tremendous confusion in our world today. There's tremendous misdirection. People are people that are like sheep without a shepherd. They're scattered. They're scattered in their thought. They're scattered in their plans. They're scattered. They don't know what's going to happen. They're fearful for tomorrow. And God's simply saying, hey, listen, all things work together for good to those according to His purpose. Why is that? Because I'm God. And I'm for you. If you're here today and one of God's children, and somehow you think that you need to understand very clearly. And so go out and meet today. And when one hammer drops, and the next hammer drops, and one shoe drops, and the next shoe drops, and then you look up, and the anvil just fell on your head. Get up and say, God's working! And He's going to turn it to good. Why do I say that? Because God said it. Now you, Father, we're often overcome by our lack of spiritual sight. I'm often overcome by fiery trials. Lord, I'm often feel as though I'm seeking in the miry clay. I often, Lord, think that there's no rhyme or reason why these things are happening. But thank You for Your word. Lord, I'm humbled today to think that You would work for me. When I want to work for You and serve You, yet You're all to turn the good and the bad into good. Father, I could not in 1,000,000,000 years. But Lord, I do want to publicly say to you, all right.